As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hello and welcome to another Game Notes podcast, your Utah Jazz podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Dave DeFore, and it's a Utah Jazz podcast, so Tony Jones is somewhere. What's up, Tony?
Like, it's 9 a.m. Mountain Time, so...
I know, it's so early for you.
Like, really early. Like, you know, coming straight from dad duty, like, you know, dropping the kid off at school and then just, like, hopping on the podcast, because that's what we do, right?
That's
what we do. Well, yes. That's not what you do, because you
That's
have
not
a
what
dog.
I do. I don't have children.
Yes.
I have dog children. Duty. I'm drinking coffee right now.
Like I told, listen, nobody is as unimpressed with you in life as your kids. And I'm telling you this right now. Like, I looked at my 12-year-old when she gets out of the car to go into school, and I say, Courtney, we need to hug because I'm going to be gone for 11 days on this road trip, on this next road trip. And I'm not going to see you for almost 2 weeks. And she looked at me and she said, cool. And walked out of the car. And I was just like, just say goodbye. Just say, I love you. And like, you know, the teachers at the school, are like looking at me, like, you know, I'm like looking at me like I'm just this like stalking my 12-year-old, and it was just all bad. Like, I
listen, man, that's tough love. She just wants you to toughen up.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, right? Like, it's like, you know, go out and do your job. You know, just call me; I'll be here.
That's right. Well, all right. Well, let's talk about your job. Let's talk about the road trip you got coming up.
The job.
As of right now, the Utah Jazz, they're 4-0. Good start to the season. Second
Are
best
you
offense.
Buying the start to the season.
That's right. Second best offense, second best defense. I just saw Matt Moore over on Twitter posted best half court offense right now, best half court defense. These are good things. This
best
is expected.
Net rating?
That's right. 18.1 net rating through four games. Fantastic. 4-0 is a great start to the season. Everything going well. They were supposed to win these games, Tony. What's going to happen on this road trip? Now the tests start, right?
Well, we can't talk about the road trip yet. We got to talk about these four games. What is the best thing that you've seen from the Jazz with these four games? Because I have my answer.
Well, for me, it's the defense. It's always the defense with the Jazz. I like how their defense looks. I think that they just look like they haven't missed a beat since last season. This is important for a team that wants to be the number one seed. I think their defense looks fantastic. What's your favorite thing so far?
I definitely think the defenses look better. I think I agree with you. I think the defenses look fantastic. Particularly, I think that the perimeter defenses looked fantastic. It looks like, you know, it looks like there's a real emphasis on that, and it's working. But I think the best thing overall that you could take if you're a Jazz fan is that the Jazz won the four games, right? Like, they were supposed to win. So they were obviously supposed to win three of the games, which is, you know, the Thunder, the Kings, and the Rockets. You know, they got a little lucky on Tuesday with Nikola Jokic going out in the second half with injury. They were up two when he left the game. You know, obviously that was turning into a difficult game, and obviously Jokic was really good. But for me, I mean, I just think that the fact that the Jazz went out and took care of business, right? Because, you know, I think you always annually see quirky things in the NBA in the first week of seasons. So the Kings went on the road and beat the Suns. The Thunder, they came back and they beat the Lakers. You know, the Rockets, you know, they've been pretty frisky in a few games, you know, but there have been teams that have been losing to inferior teams all over the place in the league, and the Jazz haven't fallen to that. Now, that being said, like we alluded to, the schedule is about to turn rough for Utah, and now we're about to see a little bit more about where the Jazz are, because not only is the schedule going to turn rough in terms of the teams that they play, but it's going to turn a little bit rough in terms of the schedule. I mean, they, you know, you have 2, 3, and 4 sets. You have 6 and 7. They're going to be playing basically their next 9 games in different arenas, or, you know, counting, and that's counting Thursday's win over the Houston Rockets. So it's definitely a schedule that turns a little unforgiving for the Jazz.
Yeah, they got the Bulls and the Bucks back to back, and now that Bulls game is no longer just a pushover.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then Sacramento and the Hawks next week too. Which the Hawks are tough, and Sacramento so far has been really good.
Sacramento's been very good.
Yeah, you're right, you, Tony. Beginning of the season, teams can get punched in the mouth pretty easily, and I actually think that starting 4-0 is important for a team that, you know, has been punched into playoffs hard, right? Like, I think coming out to a good start is important, and as they look ahead to that next week, I don't know, man. The Bucks are dealing with some injury issues. I think Utah is so much better than the Bulls and the Kings. And the Hawks are going to be tricky for the Jazz for sure. But there's a chance that they're 8-0 at the end of next week, right?
I'm not.
Am I crazy?
I can't go there.
I mean, there's a chance, right? Like, you can see the path. The back-to-back going to Milwaukee after Chicago, I think, is going to be the toughest game, right? It's the best team they're going to play.
I think when you play, okay, so your next 4 games, you're at the Bulls, you're at the Bucks, you go home for 1 game to the Kings, and you go all the way back across the country for the Hawks. I think the Jazz are going to drop at least one of those games. It's just, you know, the circumstance of the schedule combined with the quality of the teams that they're going to be playing. I think asking them to sweep those 4 games is a little aggressive. You know, I mean, I think if they play well, they can find their way to 3-1. Now, I do think so. Here are a couple of things that might help. Okay, I think it helps that the Jazz started the trip off by beating Houston by 30. No other starter on Thursday night played more than played more than 28 minutes. So, you know, they didn't have to stretch their legs to beat the Rockets. So they still should be relatively fresh going into the Bulls. Now, the thing with the Bulls, I mean, you know, I think the Jazz can lose this game, but I do agree with you, they're the superior team. And what's made the Jazz superior really right now is that their second unit is just so freaking good. Like, the second unit has been ridiculous so far. And I'm not sure that the Bulls have the depth needed to deal with what the Jazz have throughout their rotation. And then, you know, while the Bucks game is a back-to-back for the Jazz, it's also a back-to-back for the Bucks because the Bucks play on Saturday as well. So that might help. And the Hawks game will be a back-to-back for the Hawks. And it'll be a tough back-to-back because they play in Brooklyn on Wednesday night and then go back down to Atlanta to play the Jazz on Thursday night. So not only is that a back-to-back, I mean, that's going to be, you know, that's going to be an emotional high-octane game in Brooklyn. So, you know, there's definitely a chance that the Jazz see a Hawks team that's not all the way there emotionally. So if you're looking for reasons why they could go 4-0, maybe those are some of the reasons. I just think the Jazz are probably going to drop a game at some point in the next four games.
I mean, it's likely. I'm just saying there's a path there. Okay, so we know what has gone well for the Jazz so far. They're winning games. This is great. Defense looks great. Offense looks good. Tony, are there any things that are standing out to you as issues for this team early on?
Are you buying Eric Haskell and Hassan Whiteside?
Hell no. I know better.
You're not buying
especially Whiteside. No way.
You're not buying.
No, I think Whiteside is gonna be
four games for eight minutes
a game.
It's been four games of really good Hassan Whiteside. You're not buying it over 20 or 30?
No. Because I've seen it before.
Okay. Are you buying Eric Haskell?
Look, I think he's fine, but as like your seventh guy, he's not, you know, what he's doing is totally fine.
He's been really good. He's been more than fine. He's been like fine would be if you threw Eric Haskell into the lineup and you're treading water and he he's not making you lose games or he's not making you lose.
You think like, he's been better than just yes, not making you lose. Okay.
I think he's actively doing things that are causing the Jazz to win basketball games.
Okay.
Which is more than fine for what your eighth guy is supposed to do.
Sure.
Right.
Like, no, I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Like he's rebounding. He's offensively, the ball is moving. There's a reason why his net rating with the lineups that he's playing with are like basically bonkers right now because like he's playing really well, which is something that I didn't see in the preseason. Like I saw I was watching him in preseason. I was like, okay, like Eric's struggling. Like he's not making shots. Like, and then, you know, something clicked, right? Like he, the last game against the last preseason game against the Bucks, or was it the last preseason? Well, the preseason game against the Bucks, whether it was the third game or the fourth one, I think it was the last one. You know, he played extremely well, and I was like, okay, you know, he struggled in the first three preseason games, and then he just turns it around. He kind of does a 180, and then he's basically played at that same level in the regular season. Like he's really adding to the group and no Jazz fans, you know, Jazz fans have been, oh, well, is Rudy Gay going to be out of the rotation when he comes? No, Rudy Gay is going to be in a rotation. The Jazz didn't bring Rudy Gay in here to sit. So Rudy Gay is going to be in a rotation when he comes back. But yeah, like I just think that Eric Pascal's played extremely well on both ends of the floor. But I just wanted to know if you were buying Hassan Whiteside. No.
No, I'm not. I mean, look, give me half the season. And by the way, as a backup center, totally fine. Completely fine. He doesn't cost the team a lot, and it allows you to almost play the same defense. So this all makes sense to me. But what hasn't been going well, Tony? What do you see here that you feel like can be improved? I mean, maybe it's a player isn't actually hitting you know, the ceiling that we kind of expected.
Donovan Mitchell hasn't been making shots.
Oh, Donovan Mitchell? Oh, yes. He hasn't been as good as we all thought? Weird.
I didn't say he wasn't as good as we all thought. I just said he hasn't made shots.
Well, I mean, it's a make or miss league, Tony.
It is absolutely a make or miss league. But, you know, as a beat writer, you always look at the process. His process is fine. He's just not making shots.
So you feel like the shots are just going to start falling here soon. That's the only issue they've had in the regular season so far?
I've seen guys make shots and not play well, and then I've seen guys not make shots and play well. So I'm trying to figure out what it is with Donovan. My sense is that he's playing well. I think he had one game where he was turning the ball over a little bit too much. You know, but I think part of it with Donovan is that the Jazz really haven't – they have really haven't needed him at this point, right? Like, you know – You don't need Donovan Mitchell scoring against the Oklahoma City Thunder, because, you know, at some point you're just better than Oklahoma City. The Jazz pulled away in the last 5 minutes against the Kings. They pulled away in the last quarter. They haven't been in a possession. Well, the Kings game was a possession game down the stretch, but you know they haven't been in many clutch minutes over the course of this season. So, you know, I think, I think he's going to have to be dialed in for the rest of this road trip. And, you know, for the trip later in the week, he's definitely going to have to be dialed in. So, you know, we'll see where that goes. What do you think of Rudy Gobert's start?
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
I think Rudy's been fantastic. I think he picked up right where he left off last year. I think he picked up right where he left off in the Olympics. I think he looks great. Do you disagree? Anybody who's saying anything negative about Rudy right now, just it doesn't make any sense to me. He looks fantastic.
Are you buying the early MVP chatter?
Oh, hell no. There's no way. There's no way Rudy is winning an MVP.
He was number one on the MVP. Whose MVP,
MVP
ladder
what?
Was he number one on?
What MVP? Huh? Not mine.
There was an MVP ladder yesterday on Thursday.
Who's
on
doing
Twitter.
An MVP ladder after four games?
There was an MVP ladder. I forget where it was. There was an MVP ladder on Twitter.
Listen.
On Thursday that had Rudy Gobert as number one, and it had about
Gordon Hayward is number one. You know, like, what are we talking about?
Gordon Hayward is not number one on anyone's MVP ladder.
Well,
Rudy Gobert,
they're not watching Charlotte. Let's just be honest. Huh? They're not watching Charlotte. How about that? Look, I why are we talking about MVP four games in? So, no, I'm not buying any Rudy Gobert MVP chatter. He's been good, though. You don't get a number one defense or a number one half court defense without Rudy Gobert with that roster? Come on. So yeah, I think he's been great. Where can they improve on the early season start, Tony? What can they do better as a team?
Obviously the obvious one is Donovan starting to make shots again.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, I think, you can get healthy because, you know, I think everybody wants to see what this lineup looks like with Rudy Gay in it. It's just to me right now, it's just, you know, I do think so. The one thing that you had to be concerned of, right? Like in the Denver game, not only does Jokic put up 24, 6, and 6 on the Jazz
in 15 minutes.
Like, I mean, that's unsustainably bad.
I mean, but all right, to be fair, Jokic is a special problem for the Jazz.
He is a special problem. 24, 6, for and the 6 league, in 15 I guess. Minutes, though? 15 minutes? Like, 15 minutes. 24, 6, and 6. Let's say he plays 40 minutes at that.
Yeah.
That's basically 60, 20, and 20.
So, all right. So, when Utah runs into Jokic, they got a problem.
But that wasn't what I was actually going to highlight. I was actually...
Jesus.
What, man. I was actually...
He just absolutely was cooking.
What I was actually going to highlight about that game wasn't that Jokic... I mean, because like you said, Jokic is, you know, he's the reigning MVP, and he's the reigning MVP for a reason. But I think the problem spot was that Aaron Gordon bullied the Jazz forwards in that game for three quarters. And I think that was the first game where I watched the Jazz and I was like, yeah, this is where they need Rudy Gay. Cause they need that big forward who can hold up, you know, who can create offensively, but also hold up defensively. You know, so I was definitely something that I looked at. And coincidentally, we talked about Eric Paschal. Eric Paschal is the one that came in and, you know, basically, you know, stopped Aaron Gordon from playing bully ball and getting to the rim at will. So
you feel like this defense is better than it has been, right?
You're trusting
this process, I think.
In the four games that we've seen, I think the defense has been fantastic. Now, I think it's been fantastic against, not great opposition. And then, you know, like you said, the one difficult game that they played defensively, they basically surrendered 62 points and a half to Jokic and the Nuggets. So, you know, I really want to see these next 10 games because they're going to run into great players. Zach LaVine on Saturday, Giannis Antetokounmpo on Sunday, Trae Young on Wednesday, Trae Young on Thursday, Jimmy Butler on Saturday. And then you come home and you see Trae Young again, you know, so there's going to be some unique challenges and there are going to be some tests for the Jazz coming up.
So 4-0 next week. That's the prediction. I'm kidding. I'm not going to put that on you.
3-1.
I think 3-1 is realistic on this trip. I mean, look, man, the Jazz are good. They're elite.
No, they're elite.
3-1 is what their expectation ought to be when they go and play good teams on the road. And
is that what their expectation ought to be?
I think it ought to be. Yeah.
Should they be 3-1 going to a good Bulls team that's 4-1?
They're better than the Bulls. They should win that game.
The defending champions on the road.
And maybe they lose that one. It's a back-to-back.
And then the Hawks and the Heat?
Yeah, they should beat the Kings. They should beat the Heat. Yeah, absolutely. They should win the games they're supposed to win. They normally Tony.
I think the Hawks and the Heat games are both toss-ups.
Okay, like, but this is the reason we both looked so good last year picking games, Tony, is because they win the games that they're supposed to win. This is why so much of our focus, I think, this year is going to be thinking about the playoffs. This is a 60-win team just by waking up, right?
But they can lose those games. And I mean, they can lose those games and they can still be a 60-win team.
Yeah, yeah. No, no. I mean, I agree.
Listen,
because I think when you're looking at the way that they're playing right now, and you look, I mean, look, man, the Bucks don't look great. They've got some injury issues. They could catch the Bucks, but the back-to-back thing bugs me. Yeah, I think 3-1 is totally reasonable for them next week.
I thought the Jazz would be 6-4 or 5-5 through their first 10 and still be a 55-61 team.
Yeah. I think they're going to be 7-3.
You get through that first 10, and then there's just nothing but a bunch of home games for the month of November. And a bunch, like, you get through that first 10, and basically, you know, you're beyond Christmas until, you know, you see a team that you look and like, yeah, they're as good as the Jazz. I mean, they're not going to go undefeated from November 9th through Christmas Day. That's not going to happen. But, you know, I mean, there's a 5-game homestand. They should probably win 4 of them. And then, you know, there's a road game in Sacramento. Then there's a road. There's another homestand. And then there's like a road game in Oklahoma City. And then, you know, their next big trip is like Cleveland, Minnesota, the Wizards. I mean, like, there's just, you know, there's just a huge stretch where the Jazz, like, so if they get through, if they somehow went like 8-2 in their first 10, you know, they might be the Lakers from 2 years ago. They might find themselves like 24-4 or something like that, some astronomical record like that, you know, as long as they stay healthy and play well.
Well, Tony, I think you're going to enjoy this upcoming road trip. Are you eating anywhere good in Chicago?
I'm gonna try to get some Giordano's mm-hmm. in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna try to get some chicken and waffles in Atlanta. Like, definitely.
Oh, Atlanta's no wings? A big chicken you're and not waffle. Going for wings?
Well, I mean, chicken could be like chicken wings
sure. and okay, waffles. Okay. I just assumed, you know. Wings.
Like, what should I be eating? And what should I be eating in Miami?
Oh, listen, now this is easy to crowdsource, right? Now, in Miami, definitely get a good Cuban sandwich somewhere, please. Yeah. You know. But if you guys have recs for Tony when he's on the road, hit him up. Tony likes to eat well. So hit him up. If you got a good Chicago restaurant recommendation, let Tony know. Tony, when do you fly out?
A couple hours.
Oh. Do you have like a whole airport routine?
My whole airport routine is like running my gate so I don't miss my flight.
See, I show up too early, man. I like to get work done before I get on the plane. So I show up early, knock stuff out, hop on the plane. Don't have to think about it. It's great.
Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, so a dumb story. I missed the flight to Sacramento.
Okay.
Because I was running late for the flight. Like, I was going. So I got to the gate. I made the flight. Like, I was there in time to make the flight. And then I was like, wait a minute, something's wrong. Something's wrong. What's wrong? What's wrong? And then I realized what was wrong. What was wrong was I left my suitcase at the security.
How did you do that?
Because I was trying to make the flight. So I was like, yo, I got to get through security. And then you get through security, then you run to the gate. And then the gate is open and it's like, oh, sir, you're Tony Jones. Like, you can get on the flight now. You know, we were looking for you. And then you don't have your suitcase because you left it at security because you was trying to make the flight. And then you had to go back to security. And then they were like, well, you're not on the flight because we got to close the doors because we got to push back.
Oh, no. How many flights have you missed in your life, Tony? Let's put it many. All out there. Let's put it all out
not
there.
Many. Not many. Not many. Okay. The flight I missed to Sacramento was probably the flight I missed to Sacramento was the first flight in about 2.5 years I missed.
Okay.
I missed the flight in Atlanta because I missed the flight in Atlanta two or three years ago because my connection time was too short. So I got in, connection time was like, you know, my connecting flight was like a half an hour. And, you know, Atlanta does really dumb stuff with their flights. You fly into Atlanta, you have to connect, but the connecting flight is on the opposite end of the airport. And that airport is a nightmare to get through. So I missed the flight because of that. And I was very upset at that. But yeah, other than that, yeah, I don't miss flights like that. But I've never missed a flight, Tony.
I've never missed a flight. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's it. Never missed a flight.
You ever came close?
Nope.
No, I've come close on the only
flight. You know what? Actually, that's not correct. I have come close. I had to drive to an airport when I was living in Europe. It was outside of Brussels. It was about an hour and 20 minutes from my house. And we left. It was about 2 hours before our flight we left. That's the latest I've ever been. It was 40 minutes early. And I was so stressed out. It was awful. I hated it. Yeah, I don't like that. Tony, I'm very punctual, man. I like to show up on time. I like to be ready. I like to be prepared for anything.
Man, I tell you.
I'm never going to miss a flight in my life, Tony. I promise you, I will never miss a flight. I'm just going to be there early. All right, now we're talking about travel too much. All right. For Tony Jones, I'm Dave DeFore. This has been Game Notes. We'll talk to you guys next week, where hopefully the Jazz go 3-1 on this road trip and maybe look really good.